Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
What a God we serve. We're so thankful that we don't have to fight and go through this life alone, but that He is there to walk beside us. Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. We're excited to continue our series, Equipped to Walk by Faith. We've been going through this for a couple of months now, and we have a couple of weeks left before we wrap up this series, but we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, often referred to as the Hall of Faith, and we've been looking at the different people's lives of how they demonstrated walking by faith. And so we always want to clarify and make sure that we're very clear throughout this, that when we talk about walking by faith in this way, we're not talking about salvation here. Salvation is very clear. It's putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is a free gift available to anyone who chooses to put their faith in Christ. But what do you do after salvation? Well, the relationship with God starts on a moment of trust, that I am trusting in what Christ did on the cross for my eternal destiny. Nothing that I have done, everything rests in Him. But through this process of a journey and a relationship with God, He wants that to continue. He wants that journey to continue, that we will learn to trust Him in deeper and deeper ways all throughout our life. Now, today we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. Rant started this section last week. And we're going to be focusing pretty much on three things: Moses' faith, his focus, and how he followed. This is where we're going to be going today. But before we get there, I want to visit God's description of himself to Moses. Now, this is later on after the children of Israel have left Egypt. They're worshiping God, and Moses has the audacity to ask God to show himself, that he would be able to see the glory of God on the mountain. And in Exodus chapter 34, it says this: "The Lord passed before him," that's Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord.'" Now, when you look at that word, both of those words are in all capitalizations. And if you look at that in the Bible, that's always coming back to one particular name for God. And that's going to have significance today as we study this passage of Scripture. But this is the term Yahweh: the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Now, if you have a New King James Bible, it may say merciful and gracious. But it's this picture that he starts with compassion and graciousness. He's slow to anger and abounding in loyal love and faithfulness, keeping loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. This is how God describes himself. As you look throughout the Old Testament, a lot of the prophets keep coming back to this description. But it's in the passage of Scripture that we're going to study today in Moses' life that God is revealing himself in a very unique way to the children of Israel, in a way that he had not revealed himself to any of, to Abraham, Isaac, or to Jacob. But he's very specific that he's going to reveal himself in a very unique way, and it's his compassion that's going to come out more than anything. So if we were to take a test, how good would you score on your scale of compassion? Okay, maybe you need to look at your wife. Maybe your kids need to turn to you and give you their score on a scale of 1 to 10. But this will hopefully help to clarify. I know the words are a little small up there, but we have four different words. The first one is pity. And this is all in regards to, you see a dimension of suffering or a wrong or something like that in someone else's life. You have pity on them when you just acknowledge that's an injustice. That shouldn't be going on. That's about as far as it goes. You just acknowledge that's wrong. But you have sympathy for someone when you take a step more than just, I acknowledge it, but I actually care about your suffering. See, personally, you start to engage at the sympathetic level. Now, at this next step of empathy, you begin to feel their suffering. We have this little phrase that we talk about that we're able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. So a very empathetic person is able to put themselves in someone else's shoes, especially in suffering, and even feel very deeply what that other individual must be feeling and going through. But this next step of compassion, it's more than just empathy. It's more than just feeling what somebody else feels. But when we talk about compassion, it is this desire of, I acknowledge it, I care about it, I feel what you are going through, and I want to help relieve your suffering. I want to take an additional step in that to help you in your suffering. So this comes much more natural to some people than others. I do understand that. But today we're going to be understanding a deeper component of the compassion of Yahweh, the Lord, as he is revealing himself to the children of Israel. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into our study today. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to come and to worship you. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will have freedom to lead and guide us into all truth, that we will continue to understand depths of what faith is all about and how you want to continue to grow us in our faith and trust in you in every facet and in every dimension of our lives. Lord, may you equip us and help us to walk by faith each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we jump into this, Rand started the story of the life of Moses. Remember, Moses was hidden as a baby, and he was put in the Nile River where Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him. And we ended last week when Moses was starting to take the suffering into his own hands. You see, when you think about Moses, and we're going to look at just his journey of faith for a time as we talk about his story. It wasn't long before Moses you had Joseph, which brought the children of Israel into the land of Egypt. And you see, God provided Joseph a very prominent place in Egyptian leadership. And there was favor on the children of Israel when they came in. That history of the children of Israel would have been known to all of the Jews, or to all of the children of Israel. And so you have Moses that is also growing up in the palace, in Pharaoh's household, in the courts. And he is seeing, just as Rance talked about last week, I don't fit in with the Egyptians. I am different. I am set apart. God has saved me. And what is interesting as we start to look at his life is that his compassion is what's at the forefront of the start of this section. If you want to follow this, it's going to be in and out through Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 3, and the chapters following is where we're going to be finding this story about Moses. But you see, it was Moses that when he saw the oppression, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. See, the Hebrews were slaves, right? They were slaves of the Egyptians. Much of the economy of the Egyptians revolved around the slavery of the children of Israel. So Moses is here growing up as an Egyptian, but recognizes his connection. And we talked about last week that he was willing to trade all of the pleasures of Egypt to suffer with his own people. But Moses was in a unique position. He had access to Pharaoh. He had access to the rulers of Egypt. And so that put him in a unique position. And so there's this time period as he is growing up now, almost around 40 years old is when this story takes place, when he confronts this Egyptian that is oppressing and beating a Hebrew. He's had a lot of time to think about, what do? I see this suffering. I acknowledge that it's going on. It's not right. These are my people. I feel for them. I hurt with them because they are being mistreated and oppressed. So this is where we start to see his compassion come out. Maybe you have a hard time viewing this as compassion to take another man's life, but we see this desire, I want to help. I don't want to just feel what they're feeling. I don't want to just suffer with them. But God has given me a unique position that I can jump in and I can help. I can relieve that suffering. So he does it in the immediate. He takes on the Egyptian. He kills him. He buries him. And he thinks, that's it. That problem is solved. I have helped that problem of suffering. Until it is the next day when there's two Hebrew men that are fighting amongst one another. And they acknowledge, are you going to kill us just like you did the Egyptian? Is that your solution to all of this? When we don't get along, you just kill us? So Moses, in that moment, panics a little bit. Because he knows if this is going on and this gets to Pharaoh that I killed an Egyptian, I'm not going to be around very long. So he flees. And he takes off to a place called Midian. And yet here, even when he goes into this foreign land, we begin to see the character of Moses. Moses immediately goes to a well. And while he is there, seven daughters come up to feed all of their flock from this well. And it's not too long before the shepherds, the men, come into this well. And they begin to push these women out of the way so that they can go ahead and feed their flocks and they can go ahead and get done with their day until Moses steps in. We have another injustice. We have another dimension of suffering here that these women are being taken advantage of. And what we find when they go home early, they get taken advantage of every single day because their father is shocked. What are you doing home so early? You are never here this early. And the women are able to say, you know what? There was a man that chose to stand up for us at the well so that we could actually finish watering the sheep, watering our livestock. So we see this dimension of compassion in Moses throughout. When there is an injustice that is going on, he's willing to step up and to say, I don't just acknowledge that that's wrong, but I'm willing to step in to help relieve in any way that I possibly can. So we know this is the background of him. We know that this is his character because over and over, these are the few stories that come up early on, but they're all showing the same theme, that Moses has the same dimension of compassion, especially for those who are suffering. You see, what we learn and we understand about the life of faith and walking by faith is that all throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we see these huge events. Some of these events are like, if that ever happened in my life, I mean, I would be on cloud nine for the rest of my life, right? And sometimes in Christianity, we can elevate those types of experiences as that's real faith. If you can have that kind of experience, well, then you must really have a lot of faith. You must be really close to God. And yet what we recognize over and over is that faith is lived out in the little things. When it talks about that Moses forsook Egypt by faith, that was carried out in how he treated those that he was around. And the opportunities that he had to jump in and to be compassionate, he took advantage of that. But something happens during this time, and there's this next stage of life of 40 years for Moses while he is shepherding, working with his father-in-law. He gets married. He has a couple of children. And you start to see and question maybe some of that desire to help the children of Israel is starting to fade. I really thought I had a great platform in Egypt. But out here as a shepherd, how do I help my people any longer? So we have this incredible event that happens, an event that if you've grown up in the church at all, you've heard about this mysterious bush that is on fire that doesn't burn up. Moses recognizes that while he's out in the field and he walks to it and the bush begins to speak to him. And he begins to say, the bush begins to say, I need you to go and to help the children of Israel. It's time. You've been out here for 40 years. It's time. I have heard the cries of the children of Israel. So this is God stepping in, not just acknowledging that there's suffering, not just feeling the suffering of the individual, but he's saying, I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to step in and I'm going to relieve the suffering of the children of Israel from what I see. And I need you to be a part of that, Moses. Now, what would be incredible is that if when we start on this journey of faith, we're just always growing, 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 and there's never any bumps. But it's at this point in Moses' life here, now almost 80 years old, and we see there's still this dimension of, do I have the faith to trust God? He's asking me to step in to be a part of this process, to have compassion on the children of Israel and to free them from their suffering. And God says, I need you. I need you to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses' first response, but who am I? Remember, I had a position a long time ago. That's all gone. Who am I to step in? God simply says, but Moses, I'll be with you. This is much more than just you doing this by yourself. I will be with you throughout this whole thing. So then Moses asked the question, well, if people tell me and ask me, who sent me? What do I say to them? And God uses this phrase, I am who I am. I am the self-sufficient God, the one who always was and is and will be. And he says, this is my name forever to all generations as a memorial. That's the name Yahweh. And we're going to look at that more in just a little bit. And so he puts it out there to Moses right away. I'm going to tell you the whole plan. You're going to go, you're going to do all kinds of wonders, and when you leave Egypt, you're going to have more things than you could ever imagine, and so will all the children of Israel. You think, okay, God, it's one thing just to free an entire nation. This is almost too hard to believe that you're telling us we are going to plunder the Egyptians when we walk out of Egypt. But he gives this to them all up front. Moses is skeptical. But what if they don't believe me? What if they don't? I come to the children of Israel, they say, I've talked to this bush. This is what God's going to do. What if they don't believe me? So he gives them a couple of signs that you can do. You can throw your rod down and it will become a snake. You can put your hand in your cloak and when it comes out, it's going to be white. You can put it back in and it goes right back to normal. Or if they still don't believe you, you can go get some water from the river and pour it on ground and it become blood. They will know, the children of Israel know that it's me, that I am here to really do this. Ah, but Moses, but I am not very eloquent. I don't speak very well. I have a little bit of a stutter. You sure you got the right guy? At this point, God begins to say, but who has made your mouth? Moses, I will be with you. The journey of faith is, do you trust me? This is not, man, you have all the skills that I need, and finally somebody is here that can maximize everything that I need. Following by faith simply says, Lord, I'm going to trust you each and every step of the way, that you're going to prepare me, that you're going to equip me, and that you're going to use me, and you're going to be right there beside me every way. But this is where we can see the confidence of Moses is just a little bit waning. Because after all of this and all of these signs that Moses will be able to do, he just says, God, can you send anyone else? I still know that I'm up for it. It's in this moment that God begins to get a little angry. But even in his frustration, he still meets Moses where he's at. Moses, you don't have to go it alone. I'll send Aaron with you. He will be able to do the same miracles that I've just shown you. And you will be Aaron's spokesman. You will tell him everything that I tell you. And Aaron can go and tell everything to Pharaoh. I'm going to take care of you every step of the way. So they go back to Egypt, and they begin to recognize that they're going to have to show all kinds of wonders to Pharaoh. But God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and say this, the Lord, Yahweh, says, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me, but if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. Pharaoh had this heads up right from the very beginning. This will not end well unless you just release my people. And of course, he doesn't do it immediately. And so, what do you think is going through Moses' mind? God, I was doubting this thing from the very beginning. I would have rather you'd send somebody else. Here I am. I'm here. Yes, you told me he may not follow through on the first time, but that's a pretty big threat to kill the firstborn of the Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh leaves that meeting, what he does is he goes to all of his workmen and he says, obviously the children of Israel just have too much time on their hand. So we're going to increase their workload. They're going to have to get more things in order to build bricks, but their quota has to stay the same. I will make it even more miserable for these slaves because of the request of Moses. So it's not just going according to plan. And in fact, when Moses first comes to the children of Israel, they are so excited when they see these signs and they worship God. Then when this happens, they start to become angry. Moses, what kind of a rescuer are you? You've come, you've talked, and you've made it all worse. It's not our hallmark ending. And yet, that is the reality of faith. There's up and downs throughout this whole journey. Even when you can't see it or understand it, the question is, will you continue to trust that God is doing something here? So how did he do it? How did Moses, in the midst of all this uncertainty, because Moses at this point is very frustrated. The children of Israel are really angry with him, and he goes straight to God and says, I don't get it. You said you were going to be compassionate on them, and you have just made it worse. This plan doesn't make sense. But notice in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what we have this idea of his endurance through focus, that he endured through focus. Hebrews 11, 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So I want you to think about that phrase, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That in the midst of all of this, and sometimes when you think of endurance, you think of that, I'm just going to grit my teeth and get through it. This word endurance here, how he endured, it's this steadfastness. It's just he kept going, even in the midst of the up and down. But he endured it because of his focus, that he was focused on the invisible God. Look what this says in Exodus chapter 6. God is speaking to Moses after he comes complaining about this is not working. And it says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. That term is El Shaddai. When he came to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, he was the Almighty, all-powerful God. I can do anything that I say. But notice this phrase that God says, but by my name, the Lord, or Yahweh, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. All of a sudden, when we see, and we can get lost in all of the plagues and all the things that happened as the children of Israel, right before they break free and get out of slavery from Egypt. But I want you to see that in the midst of this, God has a very specific plan. He says, I don't want the children of Israel to know me just by my power, but I want them to know me as the all-sufficient, only God who cares for them and has compassion on them, and I'm going to do something that they will never forget so that they can understand more of who I am as I enter into this covenant with them and fulfill the covenant of the promised land. But I want them to know me deeper. He uses this phrase to that they would know him by experience, that they would experience him in a deeper, more real way in the midst of this bondage. God reminds Moses, there is a reason for all of it. Don't get lost when you are seeking to walk by faith and something doesn't work out like you thought it would or you anticipated or you expected it to. You may not get a direct voice from God to be able to say, this is why I'm doing this. But no, God doesn't waste any dimension of pain. He doesn't waste any dimension of suffering. He's not a cruel God. He really is a good father. And there are reasons for everything that he allows into our lives. Here is a very specific part in Scripture that God is going to reveal himself in a way to the children of Israel that he had not revealed himself to any of their forefathers. Because Yahweh was to be his name forever, to be established to all generations, that I am that I am. I am the all-sufficient one. There is none other like me. And he wanted them to know this as they left. So if you know the life of Moses, you have all these plagues that he goes to Pharaoh, and he gives him an option every time. Let my people go so we can go and worship God. Pharaoh tries to negotiate. Pharaoh says no. Here comes a plague. Then he reconsiders. Then he changes his mind again. So now they've gone through 9 different plagues, and some of them the children of Israel also felt. Many of them, he separated out where the children of Israel live from the Egyptians so that the Egyptians would know, these are my special chosen people, and I am fighting on their behalf. When we talk about this life of faith, what we want to learn from Moses is, how do we finish well by following? You see, Moses was a leader in this end to suffering. And usually when we look to a leader, the leader has all the answers. The leader's calling all of the shots. But I want you to see as we go through this, that as we look at the rest of Moses' life, what we see is that he was always following. There was no game plan that he had in the midst of it. He was simply following the instructions of God. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, it says, by faith he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. This is the second part of our text today of what does it look like to finish well. See, the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn of all the animals and all of the Egyptians. And it was the death of the firstborn of anybody who did not keep the Passover. So the Passover, again, God instructed the children of Israel, this is exactly what you are to do. You are to take a lamb. You are to keep that lamb for a few days. Then you are to sacrifice that lamb. You are to take the blood of that lamb and to put it on the top of your doorpost and the sides of your door so that when the death angel comes over that night, they will see that sign of faith and the house will be spared. But there was more to the Passover, because in that Passover, he wanted them to remember this incredible thing that God was going to do and how his compassion was on display to take the children of Israel out from under bondage to the Egyptians. They were to eat this ready to go with their belt on, their sandals on, their staff in their hand. They were to eat it quickly. They were to eat it with unleavened bread because they didn't have time for the bread to rise. They were to eat it with bitter herbs to remind them, you have been suffering for many years under slavery, but it's all going to change. And this is the memorial that they were to observe year after year after year in the first month of their calendar to remember God's compassion, that he rescued and relieved our suffering. This memorial was a really big deal for the children of Israel. And sure enough, at the end, when they left Egypt, the Egyptians were giving them things out of their house ready for the children of Israel to leave. But it doesn't take long for the children of Israel to get down the road, even though God is appearing as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night right in front of them, guiding them every step of the way. When they find out that Pharaoh is coming after them, immediately the children of Israel begin to complain. Why didn't we just die in Egypt? Why would God do all of this only to allow us to die right here? And you have this picture where the children of Israel, somewhere between 2.5 to 4 million people at this point that are traveling with Moses. come to a place where their back is against a wall. They are surrounded by mountains all around. Behind them is the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are close behind. You can see and understand why they were despairing. Yet God, who is compassionate, steps in the middle of it, and he does this incredible thing. Moses parts the water. Now, this is not just a creek and snowbird that we're crossing. There's a lot of speculation as to where this actually happened, but what we do know is the path across the Red Sea was probably somewhere between 5 and 10 miles long that the children of Israel were walking through on dry ground on the floor of the Red Sea with water piled up on both sides of them. And God goes around. Instead of leading him like he was doing, he goes around behind to protect them from the Egyptians. And on one side, there's a dark cloud so the Egyptians can't see very well. And on the other side, there is fire so that the Egyptians can see at night. And God once again spares them and allows the entire nation to walk across the bed of the Red Sea on dry ground. And the Egyptians pursue, and they are drowned. God takes care of it, and he's very clear throughout Exodus, this is my judgment for the children of for the Egyptians. They have oppressed and taken advantage of another nation for a long time. This is their judgment. Huge, miraculous signs that you think, if I just saw that, surely I would never doubt again. And yet it's not but a few days later that the children of Israel are following Moses after the crossing of the Red Sea and say, we don't have any water. Have you brought us out here to die again? So I want to remind you as we talk about that we are equipped to walk by faith, recognize that when we talk about the life of faith, it's not just the grand events. It's not just if I see God do this incredible thing, then I will never doubt again. Just look in the Old Testament. It's full of individuals that saw incredible miracles that began to doubt and to forget Yahweh, the one true God, and began to go and to worship other gods, began to get sidetracked. As we think about finishing well, I want you to go back to where did it all start? Moses grew up in an Egyptian palace with a desire to help his nation who was being oppressed and taken advantage of. In the end of his life, he was able to look back on all those miraculous things that God had done through him. But it started with Moses' heart. He recognized and was compassionate to those that were suffering and in need. And it's the little things. As you and I think about what does it mean to be equipped to walk by faith, God is strengthening us every day to look around you in your life and those people that you have opportunity to interact with to say, how do I get to demonstrate Yahweh, the God of the Bible, to people that may never experience him in any other way? I want you to go back to God's character here. Exodus chapter 34, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, but abounding in loyal love and faithfulness, keeping this loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, sin, and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty. He will judge the nations. When we want you to be able to walk by faith, we want you to be equipped so that you can demonstrate his character. In the story of Moses, it focuses on God's compassion and mercy. God shows himself in so many different ways and so many different stories that we've looked at in Hebrews chapter 11. But in all of these things, he wants to continue to reveal more and more of his true character. And he wants that for you as well. That your journey of faith is about knowing and trusting God more and more each and every day, and to live that out in the most simple acts that go on around you. May we be a body that shows off his character today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we do thank you that you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithful, demonstrating forgiveness, and yet you will judge rightly. Father, I pray that our church family would continue to grow in their walk of faith. I pray that they would continue daily to trust you more and more in the simple things and in every area of their life so that they can demonstrate your character to others. Father, use us to show off yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.